Welcome to the Nerdtastic in 3D podcast.
It's Nerdtastic in 3D. Oh, it's Nerdtastic in 3D. Yes, it's Nerdtastic in 3D.
Josh and Sean, just want to thank you very much for that wonderful intro. I am Adam McFarlane, a.k.a. Banana Grabber 61, bringing you this Nerdtastic in 3D podcast number 5, I believe, right, guys?
Number 5.
Fizzy.
Wow. Quintuplet, right?
That's
Cinco de November, but it's not November or December.
Remember the 5th of November.
Regardless, focusing up here.
December.
As always, we are bringing you everything nerd, anything in between nerd, and pretty much what we think is cool or interesting that we read about, heard about, saw in the last week. So a couple of quick conversations coming up first. Last weekend was Thanksgiving, Black Friday. Any you numbskulls go out and buy anything in particular?
Negative. Well, later. Nobody did. I don't think anybody did anything in the morning, did they?
What's morning?
Anything. Okay, here's the question. You're going to break it down. Is anybody idiotic enough to go out on Thursday night?
No.
They had those crazy video game deals. Walmart did that madness that was...
Pepper sprayed.
Pepper spraying anybody near you.
Totally
to
justified.
To get Battlefield at like $37 or $27 or something like that.
Well, Xbox was like $129, I think.
Yeah. $139 at Target.
It was the Xbox nice. And TVs people were in line for.
Whoa. Exactly.
Which give them my TV!
Which, I hate lines. I cannot deal with lines.
How's Disneyland for you?
I don't go.
Well, one interesting thing on the subject of Xboxes is they released some numbers for the week of Black Friday. That Microsoft sold just shy of 1 million Xboxes.
Yay! Very impressive.
Well, they're also they're extending the sale beyond just that Friday so that they can rack in even more numbers.
No, that
so
ended Saturday. That number ended as of Saturday. Money. That number ended as of Saturday.
See, if they extended it, I would have bought one just because. Well, they hit that price point. They hit that magic price point of around $150. For an Xbox, and now it was the only 4 gig edition, but people realized that's all you really need, though, to be playing these games.
Yes. I would definitely pay $1.50 for an Xbox.
I'd buy that for
you'd be
$1.
The only person who would think I was saying it that way.
You said $1.50.
Because he didn't get introduced, once again, Jason Carter, that's with a C.
C-R-C-A?
I did, though, Adam, we did go out later in the afternoon. We went out at 4 and shop till about 10 when things close. And I got to be honest, that is the time to go.
Did you get anything?
Oh, yeah.
Were you?
Every store had sales. Like, you know, in the mall, Banana Republic had 50% off the entire store. Every store had these sales that went all day, but everybody's in bed already who woke up like an idiot in the morning. It was the time
That's
to go.
True.
Got some popcorn from popcorn on Annapolis. Anybody? No?
No.
I got a peacoat.
Did anyone buy anything on Internet Monday?
Cyber Monday?
Actually, I did.
Hey, nerds! I really
I bought an abomination.
No, I bought. I told Jason earlier. I bought two solid state drives.
All right, there you
two
go.
Two OCZ Vertex 3. So it's SATA 3 drives.
Raid those bad boys.
I was thinking about raiding them. I'm actually thinking about maybe now putting one in my laptop and one in my desktop.
So wait, were you saying my buying a comic statue wasn't geeky?
I just heard statue.
Oh.
Now, that could have been anything.
I thought it was maybe some kind of marble, a nice decorative piece.
Little David.
Didn't know you were talking comic.
A little Cupid with an arrow?
Maybe, or some kind of, you know,
thing. But there wasn't. Here's my take on the Black Friday thing. My time now is worth more to me than the $50 savings of in those lines. I can't believe no one else thinks that when they're in those lines.
That's how I feel about in life now. Like movers. I don't want to move my own shit anymore. I will pay for movers. If I have to park 7 blocks down the street, I'm sorry. I will pay the $4 to valet my car.
I'm laughing only because it's so true.
If it was
I'm telling you, that's the thing. I pay for the convenience. I'm old enough now to pay for convenience.
That's true. Did
Jason, do you feel the same way or no? You're staring at us.
You're cheap.
Oh, no, I'm just listening.
You're cheap.
I don't disagree.
Did you? Here's the question. Did you see? And I don't want to go. I hate to go racist. Did you see the videos of the craziest? I'm not going to even go any specifics, but did any of you see the videos of the craziest moments of the
said video you're talking about? I did witness.
It involved a $2 waffle maker. I'm just saying.
It was bad
chaos. Chaos ensued.
So I'm not going to lie.
Pandelirium.
I did
call
me
BK over.
Actually, Adam and I went out together. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, at the same time.
On Friday?
Not together, like, you know, me and him.
Yeah, because
they're
like...
While we were out, we were cruising around Kohl's, I believe it was. And they
went to Kohl's on Friday?
They had a miniature donut maker for like $18.
That's so badass.
I held on to it for a while, I'm not gonna lie. We got a box and I was like,
you're like the little kid that walked around the whole store with it.
No, we put it back in the box.
Yeah. And there was a mini pie maker.
Yeah, and cake pops? And pie pops.
I don't know.
And the Call of Duty pajama set. You don't walk around with that. Because I did.
Kohl's?
It sat in our cart for 30 minutes.
It had been a Minecraft pajama set. Maybe.
That's like when you walk down the grocery aisle and it's like, do I really need these cookies?
No,
yes.
It's one of those things like she sees and is like, what is that doing in there?
What?
Are you jealous?
Exactly. Brownie bites? Yes.
I got Modern Warfare fizzy pajama pants.
They're awesome. You really?
Yeah.
Do you rage in them?
Hell yeah.
Do they turn colors when you rage when you play?
No.
I'm not going to lie. I do want to buy the tin.
Amazing.
The tin looked
impressive. The decorative tin?
Sure. Yes.
Well, what time did you guys go out to Kohl's?
I think we were out there like 9.
Oh, so you got somewhere in the morning.
It was more like 10.
Oh, by the time we got there, it was probably 10.
Yeah.
We did. The funniest thing is by the time we got into the store where there's anything even I wanted, Walmart, by the time you got back to the electronics, it was. I mean, Jason and I were both like, nah, I'm not worth it.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
So you went to Walmart.
Did you see the people of Walmart?
We did.
We saw the woman that was wearing the thong made
the underwear.
Out of Band-Aids.
Did you see the underwear shirt guy?
Oh, gosh. So,
like,
no.
Did you buy any
underwear at any of the stores?
No, I
bought nothing.
Everybody all Black Friday. Nothing.
I will say, I wasn't looking for anything. An Xbox for $130 or whatever is a great deal, but I wasn't looking for one. And so.
I think that's it. Do I need. Now, maybe say. I don't need another TV in my room. At all.
Yeah. Even, it doesn't matter how great the deal is.
I mean,
is.
I got a lot of TVs in the house. I don't think I need it, no matter how good the deal is.
Sure, sure, sure. All right. So, needless to say, no one came home with anything amazing. No one came home with
two solid-state drives, dude.
Oh, yeah. But where did you buy them online?
I bought Newegg. Newegg had an amazing deal for $150.
Each? Or how big are they?
120 gig.
Wow.
120 gig. What the hell is wrong with these two?
Don't worry about it.
So, focus up.
What else you got, Mark?
We're moving on here.
Moving on. An email was sent around between the five of us. I don't even know who sent it out. The Yearnal? Who sent that out?
That was...
I sent that out.
All right. Jack, do you want to explain that a little bit?
Didn't
well, I, Sean could explain it since Sean later told me that this was his idea.
I had this idea like
years ago,
three, four years ago.
And it was stolen from him.
To put video games in urinals.
Hasn't that been like everybody's idea for like a long time?
Yeah, probably.
Now this guy's tech though was pretty cool though.
Like, it basically explains all over that parade.
I just popped my pee pretty bad.
What?
Pip pop poo.
My pee popped in the mic.
There's a monitor above the urinal, and then in the urinal, there's a small sensor that when you urinate on, it starts the game up, and then you could pee on different sensors in the urinal that trigger different things. And then there's also like a Kinect-style sensor that as you aim, it's seeing which way you're moving. And I think the game they used was like a skiing penguin.
Yeah, it was a skiing slalom game where you're supposed to run into penguins and you aim.
So
left.
If I pee right.
And you go left.
Penguin right.
Aim right.
Pee left. Penguin left.
How do you make the penguin jump?
Pee on your neighbor. Penguin went straight. I don't know. Needless to say, I'd be into this.
Can you imagine watching a row of men all just swishing their hips and back and forth? Just.
I'll tell you what they need to do with the urinals is they need to get like we need to do force field technology so you don't get the splashback.
You can just put up barriers, like little walls, instead of it just being a free-formed.
Like the frickin' butcher, like, plastic sheets or something. You just pee through
the
eye.
I think my favorite part about the video is when the reporter goes, I'm going to try it out now. And then it's a close-up of a stream hitting the urinal, and you're like, no.
It's the, like, colostomy.
No. And he zooms out. It's like a plastic bladder.
Yeah. It was a really clear, clear stream. I don't know. Like that guy must have been drinking water for, like, 4 or 5 days.
Don't peed clear.
4 or 5 days, that guy's been drinking straight water.
It was
water.
Like a catheter. He was...
What else you got?
Let's see. Moving on. The Mars rover took off. Anybody read anything more
did
about that?
Did it take off? Or
is it planning on it? Or
we're going to.
I really... The article I got distracted by was the cameras mounted on it. They're going up there. James Cameron has put some money into it. It's going to be shooting full res 3D on Mars. Fucking Mars.
Why is the point? I mean, granted, in 3D, everything is better.
3D! Right? There it is. We're in 3D. Come on.
3D!
The show is 3D.
If we aren't going to defend every random use of 3D, and we're podcasting in 3D, Josh?
Okay. We're podcasting in 3D, but we're recording mono.
Mono Imano? Oh, you see what I did there? That was...
That was 3D.
That sounds 3D.
That was 3D.
Exactly. But what's the point of shooting in 3D on Mars? So you can
see how close to the rocks you are.
What I read, and
why
an interesting,
not?
It was
sending everything else up there with it. Why
that's,
not?
That's what James Cameron said was we're out here, we're shooting it. Why the hell not shoot absolutely the best we possibly can?
Right.
Because who knows when you're going to want to use it next.
I'm sure that's when he will use it next
in the next
documentary.
IMAX, exactly. You know,
exactly.
Mars.
That's
this
how
is
I
the
view
dude
that.
Who owns his own submarine. He can put a stereo camera in space, man.
He gave it to him. Or he bought it for him.
Or whatever he did, he put the, whatever is the funding.
My understanding
or the
is, yeah, well, he put the money out and said, here, I'll give you the camera for it.
Right, he lobbied for it. He's like, you guys got to have a stereo camera on this thing.
And a full, like, not just one that shoots whatever low res.
Well, that's an awkward pause.
Money needed. Pause.
But no,
so
I
know we're still trying to figure out the leveling and mic situation here for this up to the
fifth
technology
show.
So, and
that super awkward silence was me distracting everyone by pointing to a microphone.
So if you do have a favorite sounding podcast of ours, go ahead and chime in and let us know. We won't remember what our audio setup was for that one, but we'll try.
Because it has, honestly, got changed every time.
Oh, yeah, Sean will remember.
I'll remember.
Every time it's changed.
Were you or were you not holding a webcam in your hand during that podcast?
I will remember.
Come on, this is high tech. We're not recording with webcams.
Yeah, that's just a joke.
Why, we would never why, do why that. Would we ever do that?
Ever.
Not us.
No.
We're not recording to reel on reel.
No.
Digital.
So lame.
So I had some real fast. So The Muppet movie. Who here's going to see the Muppet movie?
Already seen it.
Did you?
I've already seen it. It's fantastic.
That's what I keep hearing.
Did you sing
fantastic?
Along with Jason Segel?
What do you mean legitimately? Like, do I think it's going to win an Oscar? Do I think it's the best? No, I don't
They're
think it's the best.
About it for an Oscar, except for an Oscar.
Maybe best song. Maybe best song.
What part of an Oscar? The leg?
You son of a bitch. Like, what Oscar?
What category?
Oh.
There you go.
Best puppetry?
there's a first for everything.
Best. No.
I'm going to see it on the 17th, so I'm excited.
It was a ton of fun. It was just plain fun.
There's something I really respect about it. I'm not a big Muppet guy myself, but the fact that Jason Segel was such a big fan of Muppets, and then he said, you know, he's getting clout in Hollywood, and he said, I want to do this movie, but he was really remained true, right? So he was like, the charm of Muppets needs to stay the same. Nothing needs to change. I really want that same classic feel. And from what I understand, I haven't seen it, but from what I understand, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't grow up really watching, you know, the Muppet show, but I watched a lot of the movies.
Did you watch Muppet Babies?
No.
I did.
That was a spinoff that didn't really hook me. But I watched, you know, The Great Muppet Caper, Muppets in Manhattan, Muppets in Space. There was some Treasure Island one.
Was Muppet Babies the one with Nanny? Where you just saw the socks?
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
And they go off with their imagination adventures and everything like that?
Yeah.
No, I'm a huge fan. I puppeteer, so I'm like huge into this. So it's a sort of a big deal for that.
Well, you were a Muppet. Let's be honest.
Well, I did that too.
Well, you still are.
And, I'm not, let's call it for a better term, a star fucker by any sense of the mean. Like, when we live in LA, you see people all the time. Adam works with them. We work with them at
DreamWorks. I'm really interested in what that term means.
No, I'm interested in how you're going to relate it to Muppets.
Well, let's do this. Let's explain. I'll explain what Starfucker means. Starfucker means anybody who goes out of their way to annoy an actor or an actress who's out doing their everyday thing and has to go up and get the picture and the photograph and that's a picture. Take an autograph. Thank you, Jason, before calling me out. I caught myself. I get the autograph, and honestly, I can't fucking stand that. Now, but I will be the first person to point out that's so-and-so.
Yeah.
And my wife calls me out all the time and says, Jack, you're so bad. I'm like, I'm not walking up to them. I recognize. I was out one night and I saw Jason Segel at a bar.
I was hoping it was Kermit.
And he came up to get shots next to me, and I sat there and I didn't say anything other than, hey, brother, I just wanted to tell you, thanks for bringing the Muppets back. And this is before the movie came out.
Yeah.
And he honestly, God, just stared at me for a second and was like, it is genuine as hell. Thanks, man. Like, I think he expected me to talk about any of the other movies and shows he's been in. He's like, dude, thanks. It's like, I've been trying to really... And we sat and shot the shit for a while about him bringing that back.
Did you high five?
Dude is passionate as hell about bringing that back. So my level of respect for the man went up significantly just because of his love for that franchise.
And it captured everything I remember from all the other movies, and it was just genuinely fun.
Did you get tickled down below?
I got a little bit of tickle. You know, I'm not lying.
You got tickled by a Muppet.
If I could bring back an old franchise, it'd be the Snorks.
Excuse you?
You know the Snorks?
Dude, no.
With the giant bent elbow on their head.
My boy Dean watches Boomerang, and they have little clips of the Snorks. He loves this shit.
Snorks. They were awesome.
I don't even know what you're saying.
It's like Smurfs, but not.
Boomerang's been bringing them all back on.
Hell yeah, man. Boomerang's awesome. Makes me feel like I'm four again.
Okay. So the Muppets are doing so well.
It's in the theaters doing really well.
Yeah.
It's 98%
on Arclight on Sunday night, Thanksgiving weekend.
You heard it here, folks, first on Nerdtastic in 3D. We think it's up for an Oscar leg.
Oscar leg.
Yeah, that's the sexy joking of Jason Carter.
All right, with the C. Moving on to a little bit.
That's C-A-R?
one last little quick piece of news. The whole Green City thing.
I thought that was the coolest link you sent out.
Yeah, Mubar. There was in.
Check this out, Mubar and Abu Dhabi.
That's where it is.
Chew on that.
That's Sean's input for the show.
That's all.
There's got to be.
Thank you. Good night.
There's
got
to be.
Adam, go ahead and explain
what it was. Well, I mean, I watched a video, and it's this city in
Abu Dhabi.
45. They're hoping to have 45,000 inhabitants. I think 100 businesses.
Isn't Abu Dhabi where Garfield kept trying to mail Nermal?
Really?
Who's Nermal?
Nermal.
The cat.
Who's the little Nermal? Gray cat that annoyed the hell out of him. Like his
Odie's the only person for the Garfield world I could have said.
Nermal, though, is a good pull.
Right?
Wow. But focusing,
two snaps.
Hey, focusing back up, it's a completely green, self-contained, self-sufficient.
Zero.
It's a self-sustainable
carbon.
It's a bio footprint.
It is biodome.
The first place the zombies are going to come from.
Oh, without a doubt.
But not a dome.
Not a
dome. It's all on the open.
Yeah, and they're doing it in stages, and right now I think they're about to finish stage two, which right now the technology is coming along, but nothing is implemented in the scale that they've been talking about in their plan. But it's just the idea of it that somebody's pushing forward. And
the city in the video looked a lot like Minority Report as far as the vehicles, all self-powered, people mover style things. And it just blew my mind. Zero carbon footprint.
No carbon footprint.
So no, it'd be kind of neat though to see that moving. It's the closest thing to the future. Yeah. Considering now we're in, like, going on to 2012, seriously?
Where's the flying car to end?
So did you guys see the video of the, was he a Marine or something, who was challenging, like, Leonard Nimoy and Steven Spielberg to make, like, the best futuristic movie about, like, how society could be if everyone worked toward, like, a common...
Mm-mm.
You guys didn't see this thing? It's crazy.
Why don't you pass it around?
So let me see if I can remember. He was talking about how during his tours traveling the world, the biggest detriment to human life was poverty. Most of the people, most of the people in the world are dying because of poverty and hunger and blah, 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 blah. And he was like, he wants Hollywood, the big hitters in Hollywood, to kind of rise up and come up with a film that... is based on
feeds
this.
Them?
No, no, no. It's he wants them to make a film instead of feed them. Don't worry about feeding. Let's make a film.
We're not going to cure poverty, by the way, with this.
Let's make a film about what would happen if we designed like the perfect utopian, futuristic, self-sustaining society. And it's based on some project that this guy. Oh, I can't remember the project name, but we'll put it in the information. But it's based on the project. Oh, the Venus Project. That some like 93-year-old guy has come up with about how to like save the world and keep it sustaining for the future. Kind of reminds me of like Star Trek: The Next Generation, where like we don't have currency because we've come up with the perfect solution to everything, and we can
materialize it.
Pretty sure that cured all
currency
is going to be replaced by hot dogs.
Pretty much cured all their problems in a single machine.
50 hot dogs would equal roughly a nickel. I don't know. Depending on the strength of the yen.
How much yen is that? How much is 200 yen? That's like 20
would
bucks.
You eat it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So can we get that in taupe? Honey, I'm pretty sure with materializer you can get it in any damn color you want.
I want that green city. Huh? So is everything like... How did they build it? So did they build it, like, with materials? Like, you know...
See, and that's the part that I didn't really read into.
Well, the video didn't go too long, and it wasn't a long article to start
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
It's not like a wigwam where you made it.
No, it's not made out of mud. Oh, it's all
very
modern. I
haven't heard wigwam since grade school.
But they talked about every drop of rainwater wouldn't be wasted. Every... Right. And it's all solar power.
And I don't know...
So it's like Zion?
It is. It's very much like Zion.
And I don't know if it's counting into the whole zero carbon footprint, the actual construction process.
Couldn't be.
I don't know if that's part of the...
I think it's once it's built. It'd have to be after the fact.
Yeah, but I just thought it was weird in this Abu Dhabi, which is known for opulence and the world's tallest this and the world's hugest this and...
Isn't that only Dubai? Like and owning all the oil,
Dubai, but Abu Dhabi is sort of the same thing. It's going along. It's all oil money.
But it's like and it's those that's you know, whatever, the only six-star hotel.
It's weird. There's a big business draw. They're trying to create this big business draw, bring businesses.
But I think that's it. I think that's the only countries who have the resources to just, let's call it for a better term, blow their money on that. Because if you approach a businessman, even Warren Buffett, and said, "Hey, dude, could you build that in Nebraska? There's a lot of land out there. Just go ahead and do it."
Yeah.
That's
like
not a good
billion.
No, he would just look at you and go, "That's not a good business. Why would I do that?" Abu Dhabi, they go, "Well, we just built a Ferrari theme park."
Yeah.
You guys want a green city? Done.
Yeah.
What else you guys want?
I'll write the check.
I love that, though.
Yeah.
I love that it's like giving kids money to go, "I don't know, what do you want to do today?" "I don't know, Ferrari theme park." Done. Let's go do that. Like
fastest roller coaster.
But they're doing the tallest buildings.
It's called like Ferrari World.
You know what I mean? The tallest buildings. Awesome. Letting architects do what I've always wanted to see architects do, build the cities of the future. It's, if they could only get people to actually move there, live there, and work there.
Yeah, now we just need to do it in space. With
you know,
stereo
it's,
cameras.
To see that,
The cameras are already up there.
Yeah.
Or on their way.
They're on their way.
The people need to follow.
I think that's how the migrations happen, right? Cameras first, then people next.
Absolutely. Well,
Jason, what's on your mind, buddy? Because you're kind of quiet over there.
We sent cameras to America before we
shipped. You got thoughts on this Thursday night?
I do have thoughts. I just hope that in the transit to Mars, that the Mars rover cameras don't lose interaxial distance.
Yes.
And that's the reason why I sit there and I go, why is it necessary in 3D?
There's like 10 people in America that know what you just said just now.
Well, if you know... And you're listening.
Do you know we never really explained
Jason Carter?
We never explained this in any other show, or even the first show. And I want the audience to know this once again because we keep going back to Carter with the C. Jason, why don't you explain to people really what you do?
Didn't we already do this?
No, we didn't. I do 3D, or you said stereo. Explain what you do because I find it interesting compared to what the rest
of Jason is a stereographer, correct?
Yeah. I'm the stereographer of a franchise at Disney Toon Studios. And the term stereographer has to do with basically implementing all aspects of the art form of stereography. So just like a cinematographer is in charge of good cinematography, of good composition, of making sure that the film is shot as good as it can be, this is the same thing but for 3D filmmaking. So I'm making sure that 3D compositions aren't going to blow the audience's brains out, that things aren't going to hurt, that...
when you're switching from shot to shot to shot, that things don't cut really, really harshly. These are kind of all aspects of kind of the art form of stereography.
But you go more into just making sure it doesn't hurt your brain. You're using it actually as a tool to enhance the story, right?
Yeah, it's. I think the modern take on stereography right now is to get movies to be less painful to watch, to get audiences to be more comfortable with them.
So not Captain EO, but more How to Train Your Dragon.
Well, I think even How to Train Your Dragon is a step more towards like what Adam mentioned, which is stereography, which I've kind of coined this phrase of stereography is the art of depth. So 3D, if you go see a movie and it's in 3D, then that really is, hey, there's a second camera and there's a layer of depth there. You have to wear glasses to see the depth. Stereography is the art behind that depth. It's trying to take the depth and use it and control it and manipulate it in different ways that help tell a story. Similar to how you'd shape the art, the light, the animation, the music, all these things kind of help shape to tell a story arc.
Yes. I mean, not to cut you off or anything like that, but you can think about maybe like a conversation between me and you. And it's just going back and forth and cutting back and forth and stuff like that. The stereo might be... The picture might be very flat. Like, you know, you don't see a ton in the background. It's a very, you know, just a subtle shift in pixels between you and the background. And then maybe some action happens or it gets very dramatic all of a sudden. And as that dramatic, the drama actually increases and stuff like that, maybe per shot, the stereo will increase where it'll start getting deeper and deeper and deeper, which actually just kind of, you don't really know it, but it's adding that effect.
Stereography as well.
Yeah. There was Josh, you hit on something interesting. There was a example in Shrek Forever After back when I was with you guys at DreamWorks, where it was just talking heads, like you say, with Shrek and Fiona cutting back and forth. And, we did a test screening, out there for preview audiences, for stereo preview screening. And it didn't play quite as well as I think audiences, the director was hoping it would with the audience. So he kind of came back and said, okay, everybody here needs to go back to the drawing board for this one scene because it really needs to help sell the emotional reconnection of Shrek and Fiona. And so for stereo, what we did is, even though it's a pretty simple scene of just cutting back and forth, talking heads, like you said, to make the audience feel closer connected to the emotion of the scene, we actually brought each character slightly closer to the audience over each cut. So when you're on Shrek, he's at the screen level, then you cut to Fiona, she's slightly in front of the screen, cut back to Shrek, he's a little closer to you, and by the end, those characters they're closer to you. I mean, they're not significantly out far in front of the screen, but to the point where you feel physically closer to them. So anyways, that's it.
That's what Jason does.
If you can't tell that it happened, then kind of we were doing our job. Just like, you know, with visual effects. If you can't see where it was fake and you're sitting there and it takes you out of the story, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So Piranha 3 Double D then, an example of stereography, right?
That the is art. Definitely.
I'm not going to go see it because...
The art.
Okay, my girl Kelly Brook off the first one was killed. And
why? I guess there's why. Why
wasn't there a part of the Piranha where there was like a... tip of a body part that flew out at the screen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they use all the 3D gags in those films, yeah.
I believe the term you're searching for is penis.
Is that what he was searching for?
So I like to keep it G-rated.
No, we got explicit on the iTunes. You can say penis.
It's a never-ending search. Yeah,
we're starting the penis. Say the word penis, Jason. Jason, say it.
And what's next, moderator?
Penis. I think that's enough bullshit for now. Let's move on to a little bit more meat.
Speaking of meat, penis.
That's a good transition. I didn't think about that. Penis, meat, intended to the meat of my conversation, which isn't going to be my penis.
Penis.
Basically, one of the things I love, video game-based movies.
That you love.
No, I want to love them. I want them to be so much better than they are.
Give me an example. What do you mean? Like a feature-length film?
Yes. I mean, Max Payne, The Tomb Raiders, Resident Evil.
So you sent out this list.
I sent out I'm going to, you know, preface all this. That Wikipedia had a really good list. It said every movie, every live-action theatrical release. It gave it their box office and their Rotten Tomato score. No movie scored over 43%. Okay. The majority of them were in the 10 to 20%.
Can you explain what that means?
Rotten Tomato is a review-based system. It's anybody, critics, people who see it can review it, and it's just, I mean, it's two
it's
thumbs
a good,
up.
It's a good website to sort of gauge how well
it gives
going.
You a barometer.
And us folk in the industry, we tend to flock to that site get a gauge.
It's at least to see how people are thinking about it.
And rates a movie, like, if it's a positive review, the movie gets a 1. If it's a
no,
negative review,
100%
it gets a
0. Is considered fresh, and that's the absolute best it can be.
It goes up to 70, I think.
No, I think
if it's above 70, it's fresh.
It's fresh,
if
yeah.
Below,
right.
It's rotten.
But how does the scale? Who decides to take
it? It's a difference between industry people.
Just people on the site who log in and have users, and then they have what they call, get stamped as industry people. So the writer for Variety, Wall Street Journal, there's two sort of reviews, and then you can actually see both. So I'll look at the one from actual people reviewing at Variety and whatnot to see what their score is, and then the user base. It'd be funny sometimes to see the difference between what fans think is awesome. And I sometimes will go with that. If I want to go see a movie, I'll look at what people like me and you go to see and go, hey, that looks pretty good because they gave it an 85. But then the guy at Wall Street Journal said, oh, that's shit. You know, it's got too much action.
I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but isn't Rotten Tomatoes, like, if a critic gives it a positive review, then it gets a 1 or a 100. And then if another critic gives it a negative review, it gets a 0. Thus, it gets a 50%. Right?
Not really.
That's how it's calculated?
No. Because, I mean, you even look at, say, like Roger Ebert. He will, on his website, because usually what they, like if they review it, it'll be reviewed on their site. So they'll give it whatever their site's rating is. So it's like if they have a 5-star rating and something gets rated 3.5 stars, they'll use that. So that'll be a, you know.
Yeah, those critics aren't posting Rotten Tomatoes. It's somebody from Rotten Tomatoes.
Interpreting.
Exactly.
I see.
Who find the reviews.
Sorry, yeah.
No worries. I mean, but needless to say, we have this.
What was the highest, by the way?
The highest was 43%. It was Final Fantasy, The Spirit Within.
Right.
The CG, and I just remember watching the trailer.
It's really interesting with that. I mean, Jason, touch on it if you want, because I have the
movie at home. There's a few CG films, you know, that have been done to date that just stand out in your mind as the graphics are still to this day just amazing, even done back then. Jurassic Park for me is definitely one of them, and I still think Final Fantasy holds up incredibly.
That was done back in, I mean, that was 2001.
Incredibly.
That was the first full motion capture movie, too.
Done at Square in Hawaii.
Yeah. So I've worked with my mentor, an animator I worked with, who's my lead, this guy Matt Hackett. I worked with at Asylum. My first movie, Sky High, was... the villain character, he was the lead animator on him, and actually that character sort of looks like Matt. We always joke about
it. It looks
that.
Like to a T. They modeled it after him.
Yeah, it's just like Matt. And then Spencer Knapp, who me, Sean, and all of us in this room, probably Adam knows, worked on that as well.
A couple of people at Dreamworks still work.
Yeah, I was in school when this hit and the trailers came out, and I had never been blown away more with just what you could do. Matter of fact, it kept me motivated to keep wanting to stay in the CG route. Just because it was that impressive of a film. Like, it was just ridiculous of how good the graphics... And you're right, and it still holds up.
Yeah. But here's...
The story's bunk.
That's always been... That's the question, is where... I mean, and there's plenty more that we should even talk about, because video games, as we've all talked about, it's a story. Jason absolutely loves the campaign, loves stories that draw you in. And why do they churn out these movies that just suck ass?
Do you think they're all bad? In your
I don't think they're all bad. I think I go in, like, Max Payne, absolutely love those games. Those stories were incredible. I mean, the depth and I can't, you know, there are a handful of video games that just kept me locked to a screen the way that game did. And not to mention the whole bullet time thing and the way they had that whole gameplay. And now they're bringing out a movie with it's a very stylistic game. Very dark, very intense. And then they brought out a movie that I thought looked cool, like the production design in it was awesome, and everything else about it sucked.
Well, like, that's the thing. Like, the bigger the franchise, like the more, like the higher director you're going to get, the better screenwriter you're going to get. I mean, you look, you know, Max Payne, it was a successful franchise, but it wasn't like just blowing away. You know, it wasn't a Halo wasn't anything like, you know, even Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider got relatively, you know, a pretty big, you know, it had Angelina Jolie in it and stuff like that. Yeah. And then Warren enough to get, you know, what, three
How about this to the group? Does anybody have a video game movie that they like? Jason, well, there's, do you have any?
Yeah, the Mario Brothers movie from the 80s with John Leguizamo and Bob.
You know what's hot? I'm only laughing because he's probably 93? Serious.
Do you guys remember the TV show? The Mario Brothers TV show?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
It was really bad.
So bad.
You know, it's interesting. Josh, you just made me think of this, but if video game movies have such a bad reputation because historically so far they haven't been done well, is there something to why the Halo movie that was being made, Peter Jackson was producing, Neil Blomkamp?
Microsoft was too, they wanted more. Microsoft, you know, because it was their property and they wanted a big cut. They wanted, you know, more than studios were willing to give them.
Money-wise, they wanted more control?
Honestly, I think it was both, but mainly money. You know, control-wise, I don't think it was too much because, I mean, they had Peter Jackson attached to it, and then when Neil,
the guy District 9,
he was tied to it, and then when it got axed, that's when he went to District 9 and finished that movie.
Good for him.
I like the Tomb Raider films.
I thought those were fun.
I actually think for what they are, they're out of most of any of the video game films, those are fun to me. I mean, I'm on DVD, there's nothing wrong with seeing Angelina and tight anything. But past that, I just thought they were fun action films.
Without a doubt.
And
I've never played that game.
Yui Boll, the director, he gets in and, you know, buys up the rights to, like, those games.
He keeps getting these movies?
Yeah, and he gets actors who are on breaks
movies
to come and he'll pay them a lot of money and they'll just, like, do it and their movies are shit.
Because I will say I have walked out of one movie because it was bad, and it was In the Name of a King, and that was U-Bull. It was Jason Statham as a knight.
Yeah, Jason Statham.
Never saw it.
It was. I mean, I've never been sitting in a movie that wasn't like a Will Ferrell movie, and just been so, what the fuck is going on in this movie? I saw it for free, and I walked out. I don't know if that makes it worse or more.
Yeah, it makes it worse.
I've never paid for any of his films, though. I will tell you, though, Josh, when we were at Sony, handed me his player. He's like, you have to watch this movie, and the movie was Blood Rain.
Oh, Blood Rain.
And that movie, on top of being just on my list of the worst film I think the worst I've seen personally, is at the very end of the film, they do a montage of the worst scenes in the film.
Everybody getting sliced and just cut.
Because they're so proud of their effects that they did. They put a montage to show you again.
Good.
I wish we had a camera here just so I can act out how bad some of these scenes were.
I would keep staring at it.
Stop and go like, are you kidding me?
I would keep staring at Josh. I would watch the film, lean back in my chair, look at him and go, shake my head. And he's like laughing. I'm like, are you, they really made this movie.
So and Yui Boll is continuing to make movies.
But I did see,
they make money.
I did see, the first 15 minutes of Far Cry, which is
just,
still
it was on Netflix. And it had the guy from Ace Ventura or something.
No, who's the main guy in that? Because he's done a couple of things.
Never saw it.
What main guy? From Ace Ventura?
No, from Far Cry.
Okay.
Prince of Persia was fun.
Prince of Persia was fun. You didn't see that?
No, it's on my Netflix queue, but it's way down there.
It's fun.
None of these I said are amazing films by any stretch of the means.
Yeah. I kind of want to see a God of War movie. That'd be
cool. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, here you have these, and that's where my next question was: what games besides Halo, which everybody would probably watch, probably besides Assassin's Creed, which we've talked about.
We haven't talked about it yet, have we?
I thought we touched on that. It wasn't. If we should then, Assassin's Creed is a movie. Would probably be the one I'd want to see.
Yeah, have something. What do they have?
I don't know if it's a miniseries called, I think it's Assassin's Creed Embers.
Showed that. It's just pretty impressive.
We saw it on Black Friday.
Yeah, it's 50 minutes. I think it's a handful of webisodes, maybe.
There's so much rich story in that game. That's what would make it a good thing to watch.
Yeah, I've heard Uncharted. They've talked about making into a film.
of that franchise.
Oh, yeah,
I'm wondering about that because that game is so filmic, just in its play style. Watching it as a movie probably won't be as entertaining.
Well, that's what I wonder about the Assassin's Creed franchise, where you're watching, you know, Enzio just leap across these buildings. Is it going to turn into Prince of Persia, where it's a CG guy, and you're like,
well, you never know. Yeah. I mean, they put money behind it, though, because I remember when I was at Digital Domain, we were bidding on doing effects and crowds work for that movie. Oh. So the studio was willing, and they did. And there's some high end effects in that film. It's their budget was much much higher. It was a Disney film, and it was much much higher than Uwe Boll's budget for any of his films.
Well,
put together.
Bruckheimer attached to it, so it automatically gets, you know, a huge bump in anything.
So I'm waiting for FIFA 12 to be made into a film.
It's going to be great, actually. It has all these people who supposedly play soccer, and they're really actors because they just fall over and grab their shins and go, oh, I'm so hurt, oh, God.
This is what I wonder. There's a
Jason Carter guy.
Soccer's not a sport. Keep
how
going.
Many copies of Assassin's Creed were sold? Because if they made a film, and they had a pretty big backer for it, you know, a big name behind it, I bet you most of the people that bought the game would be in seats at the opening.
You think if there's a big name behind the movie version, you'd get people there?
I think if there's a respectable person behind the movie.
Because they did make Doom with The Rock.
I don't mean that. I mean a filmmaker, not an actor in the film.
Gotcha. Oh, I think the actor's important, too. I think you put somebody like, say, Daniel Craig or somebody under the cloak. I think it'd be kind of dope. James Bond.
Daniel Craig? No, you need an Italian.
One thing that is hard to...
Sylvester Stallone?
No.
Like Rocky?
No.
No, you need...
James Gandolfini.
James Gandolfini. That's like Enzio leaping across buildings.
That'd be amazing.
Like bouncing around. Coming up short.
But the thing you will...
Forget about it.
What you'll constantly compare it to, because those games have such amazing cutscenes. They're amazing cutscenes. You know, they look phenomenal. So it's like you want to go in there and you want to see that type of stuff because that's what you're familiar with. And then, like, most of the time, those movies, like, it's way too over budget for a movie to do with that. To do it like
that. Well, the Ember thing does an amazing job, I think, of showing that. If they went the Ember route for a full feature, I think they could probably do it.
Okay, let's see. If James Cameron made the Assassin's Creed film, a lot of people would watch it.
If it was in 3D, yeah. It would definitely be in 3D.
I say you'd get at least 8 people to go see it. Shooting for 9?
Sure.
Probably 10.
I mean, 9's a pretty big number for anything. I mean,
how many people in this room?
You've made it big when you've hit 9, okay?
But what happens when you drop to 8?
I'm going to quick tangent
when you lose someone.
A quick tangent of something I heard this week that I thought was interesting, a little industry gossip for you guys. Apparently, Assassin's Creed, Avatar 2 and 3, right? They're filming them back-to-back.
Yeah.
Apparently, working conditions on the first one were so bad that they are having a tremendous amount of trouble getting crew back for the second
one. I got offered to work on it, and I didn't want to.
Yeah. Apparently, it's awesome. Just... I mean, it was like...
Post, like the effects crew or the... Like,
yeah, which crew are you talking about?
CG, the visual effects crew.
No, that was the reason I didn't go to WET either. It's so funny, I mean, how big it was, and people after the fact talk about it, the good time they had. But when I got... I was on G.I. Joe or Mummy when they called, and I finally got my call I've been waiting for since I've been in this career to go to WETA, and it was the first thing they said was for Avatar, and everybody I knew who was there hated life, and we're like, this is, you'll be here 7 days a week, 10 plus hours a day. If, like, if you want to come over for that, cool. I mean, it looks pretty. That's all I kept saying to me. They're like, yeah, it looks pretty. That doesn't make it worth going.
Yeah, no, when I got the phone call, I had just taken another job, and I was making pretty good money.
You're
for
making
the
stupid money at the time for that job.
Like, I got the call, and she's just like, oh, did you want to come here? And I'm just like, you know what? I got a job, and it's paying me well. She's just like, whatever it is, we'll pay you more. And I was just like,
yeah, they needed people.
No, maybe.
They just offered me a year contract, and that was too long to take off for. I didn't want to do that.
I just knew it was going to be hell, and everybody that was on it was complaining.
If I were to do something like that, I'd want to go out to New Zealand and actually see New Zealand. And you know, you'd go to a job like that and never see anything except your computer.
You kind of don't until the show. Joel, I don't think Sean hasn't met him, went over for Kong, and he went for 2 months, and he worked The day after he got there started, he worked every single day until he left. He said it was like college. I mean, they just drank every night after the shift, but he's like 7 days a week for 2 months straight.
Would you walk out going to the bank, dude?
Yeah.
There's catches. There's catches with that.
And then you get just about any job you want.
You get taxed.
That Waking with Sleeping Beauty movie,
mm-hmm.
when they were talking about
it's a great movie.
How all the animators were sitting there complaining about the hours and, you know, working conditions, but all of the parking lot was filled with brand new BMWs and Ferraris, and nobody was complaining about the money.
It's a, I mean, that is a trade-off.
You weigh off. We're back to the time that you weigh off. Now, if I had went for 2 months and they had offered me 2 months, I probably would have took the job.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable time for me to leave my family, go away, and I'm there just to work, and well, I know I'm there just to
that's
work.
That's a big thing is family. Like, if I was out of college, they'd be like, yeah, come here and work for 6 months every single day and make a ton of money. Awesome.
Well, because you're jaded. You're. We've all worked with people like that. I mean, I was like that when I got out of school. It's like I will do whatever it takes to get in. I will work as much as you want. And studios, for people listening, they count on this. They count on your enthusiasm to bring you in at a very, very low cost and work like that to get you in. And a better use of a word, they will, and they count on that. And it's sort of that loop.
Boost.
Yes. Sony jumped on that bandwagon pretty big time.
Yeah.
Because they lost a lot of money with their old mentality of keeping people around between shows, paying them six figures to do nothing.
Doing nothing. We call that gap pay in the industry.
Yeah. And DreamWorks does it, and it scares the hell out of me that they still do it as much as they do. Because that sunk Sony for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, though, the philosophy behind it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, you get a core group of people and you say, hey, you can have a home here. Like, you can have a career
Absolutely.
So we may not pay you the best in the industry, but we're going to have, you're going to have stable work and it's going to be a place where people are all very, very content.
Some places it's in their best interest because their pipeline and software is so proprietary that they invest a lot of money training you how to use it. And if they say, sorry, we got to move you on because there's nothing for you to do. Well, if they have to ramp up again, they bring a new person in, they have to invest all of that money to bring them up to speed again.
No, so, any place like that.
Yeah, at all. Not very many places like that.
So to bring it back, the question about the whole Assassin's Creed and these deep stories and these video games that we are in love with, is there a movie that you could even envision that would live up to it? Or is somebody... Is the whole thing getting set up to fail because you're so attached to what the video game was, to the, you know, the experience you had while playing it?
I don't know. We saw the same thing with comic book films for a long time. And then there were a couple of gems, like the original Superman. It was an awesome film. And then Chris Nolan came through and revitalized the Batman series. And then you just have to have someone that cares about the project, is invested in the project, and is strong enough to say, I'm going to make this way, regardless of what people think,
and they go.
I do agree, Sean. I'll just say, though, it's kind of like the book versus movie mentality, right?
Yeah.
Like if you read a book, and then you go see the movie adaptation, no matter what, the movie will never be as good as the imagination that you brought into the book version.
Unless you have a really shitty imagination.
To me, that's more about that the book was the first time you experienced the story.
But let me ask you this.
Wait, hold on. Based sorry, I just want to finish real quick. So if you apply that same philosophy to games, if you play a story, you experience a story as a game, and you've already seen visuals you associate with that story, and then you see different visuals, are you instantly going to say they're not as good because they weren't the first experiential time through that story?
Video games is different, though, than a book. Because with video games, you have – it's a visual point, I think. It's more of when you look at that, you're taking visual points. You're not taking so much story points out of a video game, in my opinion. Like if a Halo game got made, okay, you'd be sitting there looking at it. It's like, that's Master Chief. Okay, that's Cortana. And you'd see these things, and you want it to look like it. You'd want to see a Halo ring. You'd want to see all of the cities the way they should be. You know, that's what you're looking at. If those things are kind of cheap, if they're done, you're kind of taken out of it. As story-wise, though, you can sit there and, you know, do whatever you want to. With books, though, all you have is your imagination to go off of. So when you're given a visual cue from what your book is, you're just like, oh, I envisioned it different, but this still works for me.
So I have a question for you, then. If you had read Avatar as a book, do you think it would have been as brilliant and amazing as the film was or wasn't? Like, would it have been better than the film or worse than the film? Because it's one of those, that's one of those movies that's like, I don't know how that would translate if it was a book first.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I mean, there's so much visual saturation in the film. How could you get that same detail across in a book?
It'd probably be a War and Peace size book.
yeah, very true. I mean, the other thing, too, that's different between games and books in their tie-ins to movies is, in a book, you can literally hear thoughts. You're understanding, experiencing things as a character experiences them.
Yes.
It's a little bit different in a game. You know, you're, even though you're controlling the character, and sometimes you are the character, it's not like you can get inside this character's head and hear their thoughts where you can in a book.
Yeah, and you're drawing off of visual. You know, you're looking in that world, this massive. You know, when you would go into, in Halo, when you're on Halo and you're looking and you can see the ring in space, like you can see as it, you know, spins around, like you're being in that world and that's how you're actually
seeing. See, Halo's interesting because all of the fan films and even the Weta Peter Jackson project that happened, none of it was really centered around the main story of Master Chief.
Totally.
It was auxiliary because that world and that, like, environment was so lush. They were like, hey, we could pick anything in this.
And I think the key to that would be that you are drawing off something that is tying to everybody's emotional attachment to this whole environment, this whole world of Halo, without having to go, I'm going to put an actor's voice to Master Chief. Or, you know, I'm going to put somebody to Master Chief. Or I'm going to do, you know, attach somebody when everybody's already created their own visuals and own representation of it. You can do this ODST story
sure.
that happened 27 years beforehand.
But you take that and apply it to Mass Effect, it wouldn't work the same way. Mass Effect is such a different feel to its environment as a gameplay. You try and make a movie out of that, and you'd probably be bored. It would still look really cool, but I don't think you would get the same experience.
I was thinking about Mass Effect. The thing for me, though, is the story is so... There's so much depth to the story. So,
but it's told so well in the game.
Yeah.
And you get to play through that.
Well, that's the difference, right? You're experiencing, really experiencing the story in Mass Effect.
Right.
As opposed to being a passive experience.
That's why I think, like, Assassin's Creed and, like, Uncharted, those would probably make pretty good transitions to film. Because they are very filmic in their gameplay.
Yeah, so very like arc, you know, very, you know, it's a cinematic style.
Yeah.
Mine would be to give Cameron the license to Gears of War. He's done films that all are around that genre. If you took his stuff from T2, even from Abyss to Aliens, if you took all those three, tied in all that filmmaking into a Gears of War franchise, you'd have a ridiculous franchise of movies.
That'd be a scary film.
Well, that's awesome. That's the problem. It's like, I remember amazing. These games.
And like, I don't even like the game.
Yeah, like, but like the game, like, did you guys see Silent Hill?
No.
I did watch that. Terrifying.
The game's,
like,
yeah,
just mind-blowingly scary. And I remember watching the trailers. Trailers were as scary as a trailer can be, you know, the typical jump out at you. But I remember planning on going in, just coming out just disturbed. Because those games were disturbing.
How about Bioshock? If you took that and made a movie of it.
Actually, let me go back. So one of the video games that I think transitioned from film to video game that worked really well was the first Aliens versus Predator. Because I would sit down and play that game and it would scare the shit out of me. And the movie scared the shit out of you. And it was just a really good implementation of all of the mechanics that James Cameron put in Aliens in the game. And you're experiencing it in real time. And that was awesome. Awesome.
I'm going to sidetrack this just real fast, if that's okay, Adam.
I'll let it fly.
There's something you hit that's interesting. There hasn't been a lot of experiences in games for me where there's a visual that sticks with you and really kind of, I mean, for lack of a better word, like kind of affects your soul, you know? And the first Bioshock had this part, and this is a spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't played it, but when you're going in, there's that guy who encases people in the white plaster stuff, and there are these human beings that are basically buried alive. And you're seeing these like sculptures that you know there are real live people in, but they can't move. There's something about the way that whole part of that game was done that just, it really terrified me. Not in like the, monsters, but like a, wow, that like affects you deep down. You know, it's like
one of those like deep creeps that you sinks into your brain while you're sleeping at night.
Right. Like if I ever went back and played the game, I'd be like not looking forward to that part because it affected me that deeply.
So I've heard similar things about Deep Space or Dead Space.
Dead Space. Yeah.
I haven't played the game.
What about you guys? Have you had similar moments or any kind of thing like that?
The first Resident Evil.
Yeah.
That beats me.
Mine was Doom.
Was it?
Yeah, I turned it off.
Not the movie, the game. I was so disappointed by it. Like with Resident Evil, I was in high school and I had hooked up my stereo to my TV and stuff like that, so I was cranking it up in my bedroom. And, you know, you couldn't see where everything was coming, and you would just sometimes hear. And you're like, where's that coming from? Where's that coming from? And then, like, you can go into a room. And then, like, literally just turn around and, like, exit it really quick. So, like, my buddy's sitting there with the remote or with the controller. He's just like, oh, I'm like, go in the room, man. He's like, I don't want to do it. I'm like, just go in it, dude. And he goes, and then, like, just goes in and then just quickly turns around. And you see, like, five zombies in that room. And he just turns around. He goes, I'm not doing it again.
You guys ever play the video game? I think it was a Japanese company. They made this video game where you were essentially walking through this environment, and you had to take pictures of ghosts. And the only way you could see them is if you looked through your camera.
Perfect.
First-person game.
Creepy. What was it?
Never played that.
Super creepy game. Like, this probably the scariest, most just confining feeling game I've ever played.
I played it, too.
Yeah.
I can't remember that.
It was, like, perfect shutter.
Doom did that to me. Because you had to pull up the flashlight or you couldn't see shit in the little corridors. And I'm at home late at night playing the demo. And I'm sitting there and I literally shut it off. I turned a couple corners and I was getting so, like, such high anxiety, which is what they want. And I'm just not a big horror guy to start with. And I'm going through these corridors. And at one point, before I killed one thing, but my anxiety was so high that I go, this isn't fun to me. And I just stopped. How lame is that? I stopped before I even played into it too far because I'm like,
with this, Doom?
Yeah, the most recent Doom that was put out. Doom 3 with the higher res graphics.
Because I remember playing the original Doom and I would like listen to like just dark music while I played it and it really enhanced the
game. Okay, I have something really shameful to admit, and I don't have a good reason why this happened, but when I was in high school, I played Doom 2. To the Weird Al Yankovic soundtrack to one of his albums.
Like, that probably made it okay.
Awkwardly mismatched.
Yeah, you have Jason here with Weird Al Yankovic, and you have like.
No, Sean, I was listening to like Nine Inch Nails Hurt while I was playing the last level of Doom.
Seriously, sacrificing virgins and
I'm like
burning witches and stuff like that.
I'm like shooting these demonic, like walking devil guys and listening to like some polka dance thing from Weird Al.
Did it help?
Oh, it was awesome.
Did you win?
Highly recommend it.
Did you win?
That's called irony, I think.
Sorry, Adam. I totally
sidetracked. No. I mean, that's what this whole podcast is about. One epic sidetrack.
Stream of conscience.
Yeah. Stream of consciousness.
What else you got?
No, I think a simple just go around the room, and I would love to hear a movie, video game movie you saw most disappointed in and what you would like to see as a movie. Just real quick before we wrap it up. Jason?
Not to copy you, but I know we saw the Max Payne together. And I think just because the trailers and everything made the production value look so high, I had pretty high expectations for what it was. And for me, it's just...
That was a Mark Wahlberg.
More so than you, Adam. It was a massive letdown for me. Yeah. Just the whole thing. And no, I mean, Max Payne's famous for bullet time, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't one of the first things to invent bullet time. And there was, what, maybe two scenes in that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But Max Payne... They didn't invent the bullet time.
No.
In game though, it was a pretty big in game.
It was like around the same Matrix time, right?
No, it was the game based
in game based bullet time.
What happened first? That's interesting. Matrix bullet time?
Matrix happened first.
Max Payne bullet time.
Matrix.
For sure?
Yes. For sure.
100%. Matrix came out in what, 1999?
1998, 1999.
Max Payne didn't come out until 2003, 2004.
The first one?
Yeah.
So what do you want to see made? Let's keep this rolling. What do you want to see made?
We want to see made?
What do you want to see made?
That was the second part of his question.
One you're most disappointed in, and what do you want to see made?
And I can't say Halo?
Sure, no, you say Halo.
Well, say well, definitely Halo for me, for
I'm
sure.
Surprised he didn't go with a Lego movie, but okay.
Or Minecraft, the film?
Those are good.
No, Halo. I think a Halo story would be phenomenally cool.
Jack?
Blood Rain was the worst thing I've ever seen. Ever, and that's, I think, yeah, it's a video game, so it wins. Gears of War.
I'm having trouble thinking of a video game movie that I actually watched other than Resident Evil, and those were okay. They weren't great, but they were okay, but I never played that game either, so I don't really have, like, a bottom tier, but...
Go watch Blood Rain.
Play Blood Rain, then watch it.
But I think I'd really enjoy an Assassin's Creed movie if it was done well. I love that time period.
I'd have to say Blood Rain is the worst movie I think probably made. You really just... I can't...
Montage. That's all I can say. Montage.
Enough how horrible this movie is on every level.
Actually, I can't say Silent Hill. That was a pretty shitty film.
I actually liked it.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. It's kind of... That Pyramid? When Pyramid came in, that was... Fucking crazy.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy, but it was one part of a shitty film.
Yeah,
that
well,
was
he
just
came through
really disjointed when he ripped the chick's skin off of her. Are you talking about that part?
Yeah.
That was, been, that
it
was actually
been, it should have been scary.
He was a fucked up character.
That was actually pretty shocking. I was like, holy fuck, he ripped the skin right off that bitch.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
So Blood Rain?
But the film.
Yes, Blood Rain was absolutely horrible, which is kind of crazy because Blood Rain was the first comic video game, whatever character to be in Playboy.
Another
side note, lead actress in there, also in Terminator 3.
That chick?
Also partied with that chick back in the day in Orlando.
There you go.
Kristana.
There
that
you
little
go.
Side note.
Okay. There you go.
Just throwing that out there.
And I would like to see Halo as well. Adam?
I just go into video game movies with such high expectations that 90% of them are letdowns. Max Payne, letdown. I was just visually impressed with it, but absolutely let down by the story. Hitman, really let down.
Ooh.
Really let down by Hitman.
That's a good point.
I enjoy Hitman, though. Timothy Oliphant, but really disappointed
in the
game.
I can watch that movie, though.
I need
okay
to watch it
me.
Again, and I will say I need to watch it again and give it another go. What was the other one?
Did you watch him on Justified on FX?
I know, but did you see the Crazies sidebar? Crazies was fantastic.
Did you see Sons of Anarchy? Love Sons of Anarchy.
No, yes. Stop talking.
I'm about
focusing up. So I would have to probably say Max Payne or Hitman were one of my bigger disappointments. And I didn't absolutely love the, what's the movie with the big daddies?
Bioshock.
I didn't love the game, but would absolutely love to watch a movie of that. Absolutely love it.
Really interesting, I think, art deco, art design.
Oh, yeah.
Really
that whole steampunk.
Oh, it'd be kind of cool.
Absolutely love to see that. Hate a game that
give
makes me go across the map.
Give it to Ridley
back.
Scott.
Oh,
give
yeah.
Give that movie to Ridley Scott and do like a bit of Brazil
or
Blade Runner.
I'd love to see a Bioshock done by Tim Burton.
You think?
Yeah. I think you could take an already existing production design and put his twist on it and make it really creepy and fun. I think it'd be too.
Batman
fun, creepy.
Is
yeah.
what I think. I think it wouldn't be like, I think it'd be his Batman world.
I think it would be his Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
then that would take you out of the element.
Wrapping it up.
I want to just say thank you for tuning in all the way to the end of podcast number 5.
Right.
This has been Nerdtastic.
In 3D.
So go ahead and check us out. Are we doing that? Check us out everywhere.
Nerdtastic Facebook, 3D,
Foursquare.com,
Friendster, all those wonderful places, Gmail.
Friendster.
MySpace. Somewhat depressing note to end this all off. Napster. Officially done.
It was still up until today.
Officially done.
But they did win. They won.
They won, but they're done.
They changed
they won.
The game.
What?
They
so subscribe to us, people. Tell your friends.
We want to get up to 10.
Yeah, we want to get up to 10 subscribers.
Looking for 10.
10 subscriber gets
you
a signature.
You are the 10th subscriber. We'll give you a special treat.
Really exactly. Quickly, that son of a bitch, number 9, whoever unsubscribed, we're going to find you. I don't know how, but we're going to find you.
Sorry, guys. That was me.
You asshole. Nerdtastic and 3D out.
Peace.
All right, guys, that's our podcast. So what we want you to do is go ahead and find us on any kind of internet-based communication system. We're on the Gmail, nerdtastic3d@gmail.com. That's email for those of you that don't know. The Twitter, the twatter, the tweeting, twatting, I don't know how that works, but hashtag us, nerdtastic3d at twitter.com. How does that work? Just Twitter?
Tweet our twat, nerdtastic3d.
Also find us on the web, www.nerdtastic3d.com. Also, there is the Facebook page. I think you just type into that little search bar, Nerdtastic in 3D slash Facebook. Facebook slash Nerdtastic in 3D.
Just stop.
Jason, don't stop recording. The key is just go to Bing.com, type in Nerdtastic in 3D.